Because they will be Leon Edinger, and he's a Cole Porter for almost 40 years. For the last number of years, he's settled here in the Aiken area, and we're going to pray that we enjoy his message today.
What they're passing out a Ten Commandment flyer with all the Ten Commandments on it, and the fourth one you're going to find is circled. And then also you're going to get the Ten Commandment flyer on the New World Order Ten Commandments. And this is all in the making and is ready to take place. We're living in some very exciting times that we need to wake up before it's too late. Did everybody get one of the flyers? I was up in New England years ago, and the Lord impressed me in the middle of the night to get up and take that flyer and to circle it the way it was circled. And at the bottom of it, it says Sunday the first day versus Saturday the seventh day Sabbath. I have had so many contacts just because that one that's circled, it's unreal. And how many people come into the church because they ask me, why is it circled? And so I'll ask them, don't you know? And he says, no. I said, read it. And I've had a lot of people cry because they said they never realized that. They never saw that before. And so what I'm going to talk about today is the investigative judgment and the sanctuary. And the reason I'm going to, because we are in the great, great climatic event of Earth's history. And we need to wake up, and we need to wake up now. There's a storm that's ready to burst upon this planet, and we're still asleep. And I know in the spirit of prophecy, the angel cried out, and he says, awake, awake, awake. Come out of your sleep before it's too late. We need to remember that. The signs of the times are all around. But what makes it really exciting for me and really important, all this stuff that's going on, the investigated judgment, is it coming to an end? Are our names coming up in review? And at the end of our life record, what's going to be written there? Will it say eternal life? Or will it say eternal loss? And I'm going to read some things from the Great Controversy. And I want to ask you a question first. I want to have prayer. Father in heaven, I'm not a preacher. I don't know how to preach. But I love working for you because there is no greater honor in all the universe than to work for the King of the universe. I pray now that the mighty power of the Holy Spirit will be in the sanctuary, that He will be our guest here. I pray that every mind and every heart will hear the words that you have to speak today. And may these words create a hunger, a desire, a longing to live the life that you've called us to live. It's time to wake up, Lord. There's so many people out here that are looking for a church to go to. They're coming across this truth, but they don't know where to go. Help us to be the lighthouse in the world of darkness so they will come from the highways and the byways. Bless me now as I share what needs to be shared this day. In your name I pray. Amen. I want to ask you a question. How many people have read this book cover to cover, The Great Controversy? All right, the next question I want to ask you, if you've read it to cover, the book cover to cover, are you excited about it? Do you love sharing it door to door? I know I do. And the interest when you share this book is just unreal. People want to know. Everybody out here knows something's coming. They can feel it in the air. The signs of the times around us. And I know that when I read this book cover to cover, I've read it about 20 times. You cannot read this book cover to cover and still be the same person you are today. And if you are, something's wrong. Something is really, really wrong. We need to wake up. We need to take a look at our own life. And is our life right with God? So where I'm going to go going back to the flyer you guys got, the reason I did that that way, I read a statement in the Spirit of Prophecy. When Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, right before He comes, there's going to be a hand that comes down through the sky, and there's going to be another hand that opens up the Ten Commandments, and the fourth commandment is going to be circled with a golden ring where the whole world is going to realize that they have desecrated and trampled upon God's law. And James 2 verse 10 says, if you break one of the commandments, you're guilty of breaking them all. You're guilty of breaking them all. You know, I have talked with many pastors door to door. I remember this one pastor, I got to share this story because that's what I'm about, being a call porter. I gave him a canvas on the Great Controversy, and I could tell there was a struggle going on in his eyes, and he wanted it, and he didn't know if he should get it or whatever. So I took him into the book of Revelation, and we backtracked to Exodus 20. And I asked him a question. I said, before we go any farther, I said, if you look at your calendar, what's the first day of the week? He said, well, Sunday is. And I says, are you sure? And he said, yeah, look at your calendar. So he's telling me, look, I know it. And then I said, what's the seventh day? He said, Saturday. And I said, are you sure? He said, yes. So then we begin to read in Exodus 20. And I went down where it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then he stopped me right there. He says, we don't know which day is God's day. And I says, are you sure about that? Let's read the next one. And we read the next one. He sat back in his seat and he had tears in his eyes. He says, you know, all my life, I was raised to go on the first day of the week. He says, I never saw that way before. And he bought the Great Controversy and he wanted me to go see a friend and they got one. But what he told me when I left that home that day, he said, Leon, this is one truth that needs to be taught in all the churches across this land. One truth. And many of the pastors that you meet out here, they don't even know what the investigated judgment is. They don't know what the sanctuary is and what's going on there. And I've seen how Satan has blinded them, because if they go into the sanctuary, the first thing they're going to see God's law, but they're going to see the fourth commandment in all of its glory. And another statement and inspiration has says that Sister White was taken off in a vision. She went into the most holy of holies, and she saw the Ten Commandments, and the first four were brighter than the last six. But the fourth one was the brightest of them all, because that one points to the Creator of this world. It points to the one that died on Calvary's cross, and it points to the one that's come to take us home soon. So what I'm asking is, I'm sharing this with you, we as a church here, and I've asked this many times wherever I've gone, are we really, really in love with Jesus Christ? We say we are, but are we really? And when it comes to His laws, do we believe Him? There's many, many statements in selection to the testimonies that tells us that whole churches are going to die spiritually. They have the head knowledge. They know the truth, but they're not converted by it. I want to be converted. I want to go home when Jesus comes again. I don't want to be lost. What I want to do now, I want to share another thought, and this was something that God really impressed upon me, because I struggled with some of this last couple of days. You know, we have a health message. It's the most powerful in the world. There are so many people right now, Christians and non-Christians, that are becoming vegetarians. And a lot of people don't know why they are, but they are. They're becoming vegetarians. And what I love about it, God is trying to clear their minds up and their bodies so they can see this truth in all its hidden glory. And they're accepting it. And they're taking their stand for it. So we, if we go through this, you know what she says in her writings? She says, if we break the laws of health, we're just as guilty as breaking the Ten Commandments. She says there is no difference. And why does she say that? Why? When we were baptized and we gave our lives to Jesus, who do our bodies belong to? They belong to who? Yes, they belong to Him now. They don't belong to us. Anything that we take into this body that hurts it, this is a sanctuary that God is habitating in. It's His. If we take drugs, it hurts the body, right? If we drink, it hurts the body. And if we smoke, it hurts the body. And I came across the statement, it's in Selective Messages to ministers, I think it was. And even if we eat meat, meat destroys the body. And the thought that I came across, I got to share this one with you because it's really powerful. You're going to love this one. Let's see if I can come across it here. When I was in the service, one of the main sources of food for the military is meat and potatoes. In the time of war, it's meat and potatoes. Meat makes a man into a fighting machine. And if that does to the soldiers during war, what does it do to us when we eat it? What does it do to our minds? What is it doing? The original diet that God gave to mankind was fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables. And we're told if we would go back to the original diet, we would be much more healthier than we are today. And in this day and age, with all the contamination, all the sprays, everything that's going on, we need to go back to God's diet because He knows what's best. But here's what I got to read to you. Okay. It says meat eating does something to our minds. It does something to us physically. It does something to us mentally. And then if you go back and you study that really, really bit stronger, here's what it says. Meat eating deranges the system. It deranges it. It beclouds the intellect. And it blunts the moral sensibilities. That's from the testimonies. It blunts our sensibilities, our moral sensibilities. God gave us flat teeth, the grind, right? He didn't give us pointed teeth to chew and to tear. He gave us meat for a certain time after the flood, but we were supposed to stop eating it. But man still has continued, and they're getting cancer and all these different diseases from it. But now, just real quick, that other flyer they gave to you on the Ten Commandments for the New World Order. If you look at the first commandment on there, the New World Order wants to cut the population down to 500 million. 500 million. And look at all the sicknesses that are hitting American children today. Look at the Ebola breakout. There's other sickness breaking out all around the world. We have chemical sprays in the sky every day. If you take time and you're out there, you look up into the sky, you can see these trails. It's happening. It's real. We got to realize that God has a better plan and a better way. And if we wake up and we get ready, this work will come to its close. And we can go home to heaven to a better world where there's not going to be any more sickness, no more death, no more suffering. I want to go home. I can't wait. And my goal is that as long as I can walk and talk, if God will use me, I want to be a tool to wake up the areas wherever I go. And I go out every day door to door with the Ten Commandment flyers. I go out with a great controversy. And I am amazed how many people are buying this great controversy. How many people. And you know what's interesting about this? You guys, you said you've read it before. When you read this book over and over and over, you don't see the history anymore. Jesus is taking you on a personal journey with Him from the destruction of Jerusalem, how to avoid what's coming. He's going to take you into the investigated judgment, and He's going to take you home. This is the only book that will warn the world of the danger so soon to come. The only book. And we were commanded that it should go out like the leaves of autumn. Like the leaves of autumn. And so it's happening out there. People are buying it. They want it. I had a young man, he was a black man, I'll never forget him. He was a drug dealer here in Aiken. And I went and knocked on this door, and he opened the door up, and I told him who I was and what I was doing. He said, I've been thinking about a book. He said, come on in. So I went in, gave him a canvas, and he was telling about his wife. He just met his wife, and they have a ghost in the house, and a lot of different things that's happening. But I took him to the investigative judgment. That's where I've been taking everybody that I canvas anymore. God has impressed me to start doing it. And I went through that, and I asked him, I said, you know what? I said, brother, if your name is called today, and they go through your life record, I said, what is it going to say? Will it say pardon, forgiveness, eternal life? Or will it say eternal loss? He sat back in his seat, and he cried. He said, I don't want to be lost. He says, I want to go to heaven. Heaven, if heaven's a real place, I want to be there. And you know what? It's amazing. He asked me if I had change for a certain amount, and I didn't have. And he said, come on, let's go to the store. So we went down to the store, and he went inside, and it happens all the time. And they wouldn't give him change. He goes in all the time, but they wouldn't give him change for the bill he had. He says, He came out 15 minutes later. He says, I don't understand this. I've never seen this happen before. And I told him I do, because I know who doesn't want this book in your home. And so anyways, then on the way back, he's introducing me to all his friends that are part of who he's part of. But you know what he told me? I think it was 2 months before I got there. 2 months, 3 months, something like that. Somebody came to his door with a gun in their hand, and they knocked on the door. And when he opened the door, the gun came right into his face. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what was going on. But we do. God spared his life so that he could be in heaven one day. And we're told that millions and millions of people are dying. They're going down to their graves unwarned. Nobody cares. And that's what I hear from so many people, even in the ghettos. People says nobody cares. Nobody loves. Nobody. And we... You know, I found this is interesting, too. When I go door to door and I'll ask the family, can you tell me where a Christian family lives? They'll come outside with me. You know what they tell me? They said, if you go 2-3 doors down, I think that family goes to church. But I'm not sure. But Christians, I don't know. So I think the question we should ask ourselves when they look at us, what do they see in us? Do they see church people? We have all the knowledge. We know the truth. I asked this at a workers' meeting 1 year. I says, you know what? We got a big church. And I'd be willing to bet you everybody out here knows about the Seventh-day Adventist church. They know about the Sabbath. They know what we believe on the state of the dead. Why aren't they coming in? Why isn't this church packed when there's so many interests out here? And the spirit of prophecy tells us when the love of Jesus Christ becomes real, they will come in, but not until then. Not until then. If you study the history of the apostles on the day of Pentecost, before Pentecost took place, they were in the upper room for, 10 days? And they were praying for each other because they were jealous of each other. They were having fault finding. They were criticizing each other. All this stuff was going on. God couldn't pour out His Spirit upon them. He couldn't trust them with His Spirit. So they stayed there until they were ready. And then when they were ready, then God's Spirit fell upon them without measure. And then they went out into the highways and the byways, and the people wanted what you had. They wanted to be like you. And so these are questions. This is what the Lord has impressed me with in the churches where I've gone, especially in the past couple of years. Even in my own life, and with our children, if we have children, when our children look at us, what do they see? What do they see? Do they see a kind and loving Christian man or woman? Do they see something in you that is so unique and beautiful that they want it too? What do they see? What do they see? Why aren't they here? Why aren't they here? Now I'm going to go farther. Okay, this is it. I'm going to take you into an investigated judgment now, and I'll read just a couple thoughts from the Great Controversy. You know, we had a lesson study today. It was on the perfection. Can we overcome? Will we overcome before Jesus? Or will we keep sinning until Jesus comes to change our nature? There's so many different views going around anymore. And it never used to be that way years ago. We knew what was right. And we were going that way as a people. And we were teaching this. But I want to read this. These are thoughts that I really was impressed with. Let's see if I can shine this in here. And while I'm looking for this, I want to ask a question. I want to throw it out. Do you believe that we can overcome? And the reason I'm sharing this with you, and then you can think about it, it says that God's character will be perfectly reproduced in His people in the end. Can God's character be perfectly reproduced in me if I'm committing adultery, or if I'm out there fighting with people, or I'm getting angry and hateful? That would dishonor His character. We're told the day will come we would rather die than sin anymore. Have we come to that point in our life? Are we homesick for heaven yet? I am. I can't wait till it's over. I can't wait till this crisis hits. And I'm going to tell you, there's a crisis that's coming somewhere between now and the end of the year. And if that doesn't shake us up, it's really, really scary. We have it easy. We have it good right now. But we haven't seen what's going to hit. And it's going to hit. Inspiration tells us it's going to hit with all its fury. And we're not even ready to meet it. So we have the truth. We know our Bibles. But is it real in here? Is it real in you? Is it real in me? People don't want to know what you know. They ask you, are you what you say you are? That's what they're looking for. Are you what you say you are? Do we truly represent Jesus Christ? And when we come into the sanctuary, and this has troubled me for years, and it's so easy to be pulled into this. We're told that when we walk through those doors and we come into the house of worship, we come before the King of Kings, and there should be silence and there should be reverence in this sanctuary until we go out those doors. What happened to us? Why did we get so far away from what's right? Don't we believe that we come before the King of Kings anymore? And there is a statement, look it up. It says, when we come into the sanctuary and we're talking and just carrying on and we're noisy, Jesus doesn't meet with us. He doesn't meet with us. He doesn't. That's sad. That's really sad. If you ever go into a Catholic church, and I've had the chance to do this several times, you can hear a pin fall. That's how quiet a Catholic church is. And the church on earth that God has called into existence, what happened to the reverence we should have? What happened? And that's why the title was Awake, Awake, Awake. Come out of your sleep before it's too late. When we wake up and get back to reality and what's going to come, we can help each other make it through this storm. My prayer is that everybody here, that you love each other that much that you want to help each other be ready for heaven. I know that when I meet a lot of drug dealers on the street corner, and I'll give them that Ten Commandment flyer, because America is going to do away with the Ten Commandments in this country, and they're ready to do it. And inspiration tells us the Ten Commandments will be made null and none effect. They'll be done away with. And when I tell that to the young drug dealers, you know what they tell me? It's amazing. It amazes me. I give it to them and I tell them that. And they look at me, they said, if that happens, then the Bible's finished. Almost every drug dealer that I've given a flyer to, that's what they tell me. How come they can see this and they know it and we don't? And we don't. They do, but we don't. And they're not even going to church. And the young people, when I talk with a lot of the young people, you know what they tell me? They don't want church. You know why they don't want church? Church doesn't appeal to them. The people that go to church don't appeal to them. The life they live. I've had a lot of young people tell me, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want any part of it. I don't care for it. And I hear that all the time, every day. Every day I hear that. So it's time that we as a people get back. Lift the standard back up. In a war, when a war takes place, and the guy that's carrying the flag, when he falls, what happens with that flag? Somebody else picks it up. When the standard's lowered in the church, shouldn't we pick that standard back up again? Let's lift it up for Christ. Let's be what God has called us to be. It's time. It's time to wake up. But going back here, I'm trying to pull this thought out with the investigative judgment. You got to hear this. This is just fun. You know, the Bible tells us that by beholding Christ, we become like Him in mind and in character. Mind, the way we think, the way we act, the way we talk, our character, how we treat each other. Do we get angry if somebody says something to us, or do you get mad at your wife or your girlfriend or your spouse and you got an argument? Does that represent the character of Christ? No, it doesn't. It misrepresents it. Okay, here it is. I want to read this. As the books of record are open in the judgment, the lives of all who have believed on Jesus come in review before God, beginning with those who first lived upon the earth. Our advocate presents the cases of each successive generation and closes with the living. Every name is mentioned. Every case is closely investigated, as if there was not another person upon the earth. He so desperately wants to save us. And He's doing everything He can. Even in the judgment, nobody else comes up. Only your name and your case. Names are accepted. Names are rejected. He's talking about His people. Names are rejected. Names are accepted. I want you to listen to this one. When anyone has sins remaining upon the books of record, unrepented of and unforgiven, their names will be blotted out of the book of life, and their good deeds will not be remembered. And you know, every one of us who's here today has our name written in that book. And God knows what's going on in our minds every day, even right now. What you're thinking, but what you're hearing. If it's troubling you, I don't want to hear it, or whatever. Jesus loves each one of us more than we'll ever understand. The Desire of Ages says if He would have had to come to this world and die for just one person, He would have given His life. I don't understand that kind of love. I don't. I really don't. And you know, the reason I came into this church, I was in the service and I was in Hawaii. That's where I joined the church. The reason I came in, because every Sabbath when I'd go to that church, I was just, I think, 19 years old. Everybody came up to me and hugged me. And they told me, we love you. And we're glad that you're here. I've been to a lot of our churches across the country. And you can walk into a small church, and it's happened many times. It's not even a greeting, not even a hug. We need to hear that from each other. I love you. I'm glad you're here. I love you. We're going to help each other make it home one day. If that love is real. So I want to challenge you, because I know that it's almost 12 o'clock, with this thought. And I want you to remember and do study it, read it. Go into the chapter. It's called Facing Our Life Record. Don't just read it. Study it. Study it. God's character will be perfectly reproduced in His people in the climatic event of Earth's history. He wants to take that remnant as if they were back in the time of Adam and Eve before they sinned. When Adam and Eve was created, they were created in God's character, right? And His likeness. And likeness, I always wonder what character and likeness is. I always thought it was the same, but it's not. They had no propensity to sin. And the Bible tells us that that's what God is going to do. That remnant are going to perfectly reproduce His character. We're going to show the unfallen universe that there is a people on planet Earth that will perfectly reflect His character. If we're alive and we're one of the remnant, we will be that way. And the Bible says there is no excuse for sin. None at all. And my closing thought here, if you ever get a chance, there's a book. It's called Entering the Sanctuary Experience. It has everything that was ever written on the sanctuary by E.G. White. I would challenge anybody, read it, find it, get it, read it. You need to. Because soon, and very soon, your name is going to be called in the investigated judgment. And will Jesus be your advocate there? Will He plead His blood in your behalf? Or will your name be rejected? What I want to do, I want to have a closing prayer, and then I'll let Gabriel come up with me. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the presence of the Holy Spirit in the sanctuary this morning. Thank you for moving upon my heart, my mind. Thank you for using my tongue, my lips. And I pray, dear Lord, it brought glory and honor to your name. And my prayer, dear Lord, as I walk away from this mic, that everyone here will wake up out of their sleep, out of their slumber. Satan is using everything he can to sidetrack us so that we don't realize that the investigated judgment is almost over. And that storm that's going to break loose on planet Earth, unless we have been sealed with the living God, we will not go through it. We will walk away. Bless us each one now, I pray, in your name. Amen.